Would you please take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 7. We will be concluding the study of Romans chapter 7 in the series on Be Ye Holy, and we begin reading in verse 14. The Word of God says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." We are addressing the subject of holiness, and we find ourselves in the midst of the doctrine of sanctification. In this lesson, number 11, on this series, Be Ye Holy, the title of this lesson is No Good Thing in Me. As we review the big picture and get a summary of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, if you remember, Romans 6 is, according to Donald Barnhouse, he brought it down in simplicity and said, Romans 6 is the machinery which, when operated according to the instructions, is capable of yielding fruit unto holiness. If you go to Romans 7, which we are concluding in this study, Romans 7 is the monkey wrench in the machine, which is the believer and his flesh. And then we will see in our subsequent studies in Romans 8 that it reveals the power necessary to operate the machinery of holiness to great effect. This is the power of the Holy Ghost. And as we think about this, Romans 6, 7, and 8, God has justified us. We have become the servants of God. We've become the servants of righteousness. And we can bring forth fruit unto holiness. But there's a problem in Romans chapter 7. The problem is sin. Just as the problem was sin before we were saved, so it is today in the life of the believer. The problem is still sin that stands in the way of holiness. And then we're going to see in chapter 7 that through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can live a holy life and allow God's machinery to work properly. Now, as we review last week's lesson, there are two important parts in Romans 6, verse 7 through 25. Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, first of all, in the past tense, and then he switches to the present tense. The question has been asked, if you remember, is the law sin? That was verse 7. Is the law sin? The answer is rather emphatic. God forbid. If you remember here, the struggle as we think about holy living, holiness, bringing forth fruit unto holiness, what stands in the way of holiness? Us as believers living a holy life. It is sin. It is the flesh that is constantly pulling us down. As we think about the subject of chapter 6, 7, and 8, remember the question in chapter 6, verse 1 is, we're saved by grace. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is, God forbid. In chapter 6, verse 14, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? The answer is, God forbid. And here, is the law sin? The answer is, God forbid. You see, the trouble is not grace. That's not the problem. The problem is not the law. The problem is sin. What is the common to all of these questions that we find in chapter 6 and chapter 7? Sin is the common theme. Sin is at the forefront in the life of the believer. Paul does not want to be misunderstood here. He is careful to build his case so that what he said could not be misrepresented. Now, what have we learned in chapter 6? If you remember, this will be a brief overview. We've learned in verse 4 that the believer is walking in newness of life. We have learned in verse 7 of chapter 6 that the believer is free from sin. We have learned in verse 10 and 11 that the believer is alive unto God. We have also learned in verse 13 that the believer is able to yield himself as an instrument of righteousness unto God. We have also seen in verse 18 that the believer has become a servant of righteousness. So he's become something he was not before. And according to verse 22 of chapter 6, the believer can have fruit unto holiness. Now remember, before he is saved, he is free from righteousness. But now he is a servant of righteousness. Something has happened. What has happened? Justification by faith, as he explained in the first three chapters of Romans. Now, what is the trouble explained in Romans 7? The trouble, it's important here, is not the law. When Paul says we are not under the law but under grace, he is not criticizing the law. He is not maligning the law. He is not dismissing the law. He is simply saying that the grace of God is far greater than the condemnation of sin. Now, the trouble is not the law. The trouble is sin. That was true before we were saved. That is also true now that we are saved. As we mentioned, there is the past tense, the present tense, he goes back forth. Now, I believe here that the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony. If we go to chapter 7, verse 7 down to verse 11, he speaks in the past tense. He said, verse 7, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. So Paul speaks in the past tense. I believe he refers back to his testimony. And we come to verse 12. The Bible says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. So there is the present tense. Then verse 13, he goes back to the past tense. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Then he comes back to the present tense from verse 14 all the way down to the end of the chapter in verse number 25. You see, the law revealed, before he was saved, the law revealed the depths of our sin. That is what Paul says. The law resulted in death because of sin. The law, however, today remains for the believer a bulwark against sin. Paul affirms here that the law, in verse 12, is holy, the commandment holy and just and good. Verse 14, the law is spiritual, but here it is, he says, but I am carnal. There's nothing wrong with the law. What is wrong is me, my flesh. He goes on to say, verse 18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You see, there are two false notions that we must dispel. The first is we want to reject the idea that believers cannot be carnal. That's the first thing. By the way, Paul wrote to the believers at the church at Corinth, and he says, ye are carnal. So we have to reject the idea that a believer cannot be carnal. Yes, a believer can be carnal. And secondly, the opposite spectrum, we must reject the idea that grace encourages the believer to sin. There is no such thing, as Paul has affirmed in chapter 6 and 7. You see, the believer is no longer condemned because he is in Christ Jesus. However, the believer is still troubled by his fleshly appetites. As believers, we can rejoice in what we find in these three chapters, right? We have been delivered from the penalty of sin. We've become something we were not before. We can be delivered from the power of sin, chapter 7, and we will be delivered from the very presence of sin, because by the end of chapter 8, he's going to talk about our final glorification. So we have been delivered from the penalty of sin. We can be delivered from the power of sin, and we will be delivered from the very presence of sin. Now, in this lesson, as we conclude in this series, chapter 7 of the book of Romans, I want us to think about this truth, no good thing in me. And first of all, I want to declare, as we look at our text, that which dwells within the believer. What is in us? Paul here refers back to himself, verse 14, he says, I am carnal. And so Paul is going to open up about the inward struggle of the believer. That's what we find here. Paul speaks of himself. He says, verse 15, that which I do, I allow not. That for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If you go down to verse 17, he says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Here it is. Sin is the issue. Notice verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Notice down verse 20. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You see what Paul is constantly repeating here? Sin is the issue. Sin in me. The flesh. What is in me? There is no good thing. Evil is present within me. Verse 23, he says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. Here it is, to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, here it is. Yes, we have been delivered from the condemnation of the law of sin, the rule of sin in our lives. We are free from sin. However, there is still a pull. That law is still alive. It is still active. It is still seeking to bring us back into its dominion. And so we see that is that which dwells within the believer. But we also see at the same time, not just what dwells within the believer, number two, we see that which the believer delights in. Now, notice verse 16, he says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So Paul looks at the law and says, look, the law is good. I consent to the law. Verse 18, he says at the middle of the verse, for to will is present with me. So there is a will to do that which is right, that which is righteous in the sight of God, the will is present with me. He says in verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So he says, I would do good, that desire is there, right in my mind, I desire to do that which is right, that which is good. He says, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So we see those two opposite end of the battle that is raging in each of the believer's life. There is that which dwells within the believer. Okay, we have been justified. We are free from sin. But again, the law of sin has not been eradicated. We have not, there will be less sin when justification takes place, but we do not become perfect at the moment that we are saved. There is still that pull. There is still the inward lusting, the inward appetites of the flesh that are raging. But yet at the same time, there's this mind, which is the mind of Christ that has been given us, and we delight and we desire, we would do certain things that we wouldn't do before. Which brings us to the third point, that which delivers the believer. Notice verse 24 and 25, there is the exclamation, a desperation. Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The solution to living a holy life, here's the truth that we find in verse 7, The solution to living a holy life is not found in us. Only the problem is found in us, sin and the flesh. Pastor Tom Brennan, in his book Freed from Sin, he summarized it this way. He says, in this passage, Paul describes himself as a neutral being operated on by two forces. To the left, if you will, is Paul's body that is being influenced by the built-in remnant of the law of sin, his old nature. To the right is Paul's mind, which is being influenced by his love for the law of God. The law of sin tugs at Paul's body, which moves Paul to do wrong. The law of God tugs at Paul's mind, which moves Paul to do right. In the carnal man, which influence wins most often? Well, it's the flesh, which is influenced by its built-in lust, wins most often. You see, we come to this place where I think with the Apostle Paul in verse 12, we would say, if that sinful nature is still within us, and if the bent to sin is still pulling us, tugging us in the wrong direction, how can we live a holy life? Is it then impossible to be holy or to live holy? I would say to you, no. Go back to chapter 6. Remember what he said? Verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 12 of chapter 6, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. You see, we may come to the point of desperation, but I believe it is the important part where we have to come to. If we think that we can live a holy life, and that's going to come from our own abilities or our own spirituality, that we're going to whip the flesh back into place, we are wrong. We must come with the Apostle Paul and say, oh, wretched man that I am, how can we live this holy life that God, how can we bring forth fruit unto holiness as God desires in our lives? Isn't it yet impossible? You see, the lesson is not that it is impossible to live holy. The lesson rather here that Paul is teaching is that the solution to our sin problem and to living a holy life is not found in us. And what I want us to do as we come to this lesson, before we enter into Romans chapter number 8, there must be a desperation within every one of us that says, we cannot do it. I cannot live a holy life. I have this bent towards sin, and I need God's help. Verse 18, remember what Paul says? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He says, notice, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Here it is. Are you ready? You want to live a holy life? There is absolutely nothing you can do in your own energy to perform that which is good in the sight of God. You see, the solution is declared plainly at the end of this chapter. The solution is found in Christ. This was true in our salvation, but this is also true for our holiness. You see, we come to the important transition here, to Romans chapter 8, which is the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're going to find that the Holy Spirit is going to be mentioned 16 times in the first 14 verses of Romans 8. So, and by the way, in the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit has not been mentioned but once, back in Romans chapter 5. Only once, but now we come to Romans chapter 8 after we've seen Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There is no good thing in me. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. The answer is not in me. The answer is in Christ. And so we turn immediately to the Holy Spirit of God who empowers us to live a holy life. You see, Galatians teaches the same truth. If you go with me to Galatians chapter 5, if you remember, Some Judaizers were adding works to salvation. Paul seeks to correct that. He said, remember Galatians 3:24, he said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. If we go all the way to chapter 5, he says, notice with me verse 13, for brethren, we have been called unto liberty, we're free. But notice verse 13, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye abide and devour in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we see here, let me read that again. Galatians 6:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye abide and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Notice what he says, verse 16. This I say then, here it is. How can we do that? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is present. We are not to use our liberty, our freedom as believers, to be free from sin as an occasion to the flesh. Well, how is that possible? Because we are bent, we are pulled constantly to go towards the flesh. It is to walk in the Spirit. And so that is exactly what Paul is going to do, and we will see that in our next lesson. But I want us to consider this truth here this evening before we go. We cannot, of our own energy, of our own strength, live a holy life. We have become something we were not before. But the power to live a holy life is going to come from the Holy Spirit of God, not from us. The reason why we are not living a holy life, I'll tell you, is because we are not desperate and that we do not understand who we are in our flesh and in our sinfulness. And until we do so, we will never cry out in desperation, oh God, we need your help. And so may we pray before we come to Romans chapter 8 and ask for the Lord's help and His assistance. Let's pray.